John Spencer's not here. So, May minutes, everybody get a chance to read them? And
yes.
Yep.
Motion to approve and go forward from there. Somebody want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
There you go.
Okay. I'll second.
All right. And moved and seconded.
It's second. Always be the one, Kevin.
And third, any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? All right. So we're going to unfinished business. Youth member update. We've got Bill, you want to?
Sure.
No, so, I thought that was Bill.
Here's where I start off by apologizing, because we've gotten four members who have submitted for the two positions that we've pointed out, but we have gone through the screening process, but I have not actually talked to them or interviewed them and made a decision yet. So I know we should have had two members here at this particular meeting, because school is getting out after this month or after the end of this month, and so we may or may not have members throughout the summer season. I don't know, but I will definitely work on trying to get the members locked in. So we may see him in July, we may see him in September, or August, I mean, but I would definitely think that we'll see him in September for sure. So my apologies for not being more proactive.
Yeah, their schedules actually might be more flexible during the summer.
Right, if they're not on vacation or traveling.
Yeah, I don't think they're not seniors, so they're not going off to college or anything.
Correct.
So,
yeah.
We'll get it squared away. All right, PIF update.
PIF update. Do we have those documents?
I didn't see anything in the package.
Hey, Laura, do we have PIF documents at all? Update documents?
We do not.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, Laura was asking yesterday if any updates had come through, and this last month didn't close yet, so they couldn't get those updates to us. And so we did, however, get the currency that I've seen, but we're still looking at 2020, mid-2020 before any currency is coming up, and that's in PIF 6. And the money's still coming in. I heard something today from Lori Lebowski. She apologized that she could not be here, but we need to take a look at that law that was passed in the beginning of 2016. And so the law basically is about the developers who used to have to pay their PIF fees up front when they submitted their permits, right? And from what Lori was telling me today, which didn't sound like it made a lot of sense to me, so I need to check that law specifically. But this law allows the developers to push the permitting fees or the PIF, SIF, and TIF fees off to the very end of the construction period, right, as the house is being sold. Now, I thought it was still on the developer to, you know, go for the final occupancy, and at that time they would pay those fees. What I heard today was that no, it goes past the developer onto the buyer.
I thought
that doesn't sound quite right.
So you buy a house, and then when you close, all of a sudden you...
Here's your $30,000 or $40,000 to pay SIF, TIF, and PIF. And I thought, that doesn't sound quite right. And so Amanda, you might have to look into that one a little closer. My first thought is it's still on the developer's shoulders at the time that they apply for final occupancy.
Yeah.
And we think so. So yeah. Anyways, that's a little gray right now, so have a clear answer.
Would that be a state legislature thing that happened, or was that a county thing?
No, it's a statewide.
Statewide.
So that said, PIF funds are coming in. There is a limitation. I think it's the first 45 homes in a bigger, much bigger subdivision that applies to. And the whole intent was to keep the money in the developers' pockets, you know, so they help them build the hotel. So
yeah, but when they get their money around, we'll never see.
Well, I'm just thinking there's a lot of flaws to that, to what I heard today, because how can these people who are buying homes know to talk to their lender to add that fee amount into the total loan?
Plus, so they'd hate us for it.
Boy, would they ever. Yes.
Have you guys talked to anybody from the Building Industry Association to see if this is true?
We don't know about this.
I was just talking to Lori today about it, so I haven't had a chance to.
This was discussed at the DEEB meeting, like, last week or beginning of this week, whatever it was, Friday.
What's the
deal?
The engineer board or whatever is the appointed board for engineering. So that was discussed. I wasn't there.
Okay.
But it was brought up.
Well, we'll look into that and just for peace of mind, know exactly how that law reads and how it's interpreted.
Do you remember
how it's
the bill number for that?
What's that?
Do you remember the bill number for that? For
I don't. Malata, do you know that bill number?
Well, I know that was approved by the Board of Commissioners to have to pay at the end, but it did not say that it should be.
I thought it was an RCW versus a.
So it's a county thing as
opposed to a state thing? An RCW.
Well, Lori said it was statewide. So it was passed at the.
That'd be an RCW.
Well, the board might have passed it. State
yeah, probably. Okay, thank you.
Well, in just a point of reference, guys, you do know we have the immediate past president of the BIA on the foundation board, and Tracy Doria would be happy to answer questions for you and work with us, because that was the reason we went to the BIA to put somebody on the board, is to help us and be better partners on those park impact fees and getting our developers more excited about paying them and the presentation of them.
Right. It's best in the community as well.
Absolutely. So it sounds like this idea is a dumb one. Just.
And it could be very incorrect. That's just what I heard today. So I thought I'd share that with the intermission. So that's
more to come.
And of course, the development usually includes the impact fees for dwelling into the price of the house.
Yep.
That's correct.
Right up front.
Yes, it's usually passed on to the buyer.
The intent and the height.
But that's
yeah, that's the.
But that still, if it's the buyer that has to pay that, will.
Well, here's what brought the conversation up is that the school district has been calling in and saying, hey, why are we not getting our SIF fees at the point of sale? It's because the owners don't know that those fees have been paid or have to be paid. So that's what brought it up in the first place. So the school's investigating. So if they're not getting it, the tips and tips are not getting it as well.
It's pretty serious stuff.
Yes,
and
it
I
is.
Move that to
so that's it for PIF right now. We can probably send you out the PIF updates once we get them. It might be the next day or two, or actually next week. Next week, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I mean, the key is we don't have any concurrency until 2020. So right. that's good.
Mid-2020.
All right. The All-PAV regional meeting review, I can go through that. I think Barbara and I, Kevin.
I can't remember. Kelly, were you there at the meeting?
Dave was there.
No,
Kelly didn't make it. So anyway, I think we all were impressed with what Ridgefield was doing and with their new project and everything. I think the key about that is they're partnering with their school district to come up with fields for use, both recreational and not just schools, and they're making the parking, co-parking, if you will, for lack of better terminology, between the school and the use of the field. So having living in Camas and seeing our fields locked up every time that, you know, they're not being used by the school is kind of, it was nice to see that, just from a personal experience and understanding. It was very interesting presentation. Bill made a great presentation on the Lewis and Clark Trail, and I think everybody got excited about that, the possibility, and we're very close to having all of the county connected, all the way, you know, up and around and along the edge. And so I thought it was great. I don't remember, did we ever decide if somebody else was hosting it the next?
Vancouver is, looking I talked into with Holly
okay.
Williams, and she was going to go back and talk with her group.
That's right.
Okay. But I think that would be a wonderful thing to see Vancouver step up and become more engaged. I mean, we've got sporadically a few of their members attending and saying that they support this endeavor, but for them to actually host it, I think would be a...
That would be great.
So I'll wait a while and give her a poke.
I think the key is to get consistent representation to each one of these meetings, too. We seem to have different... We've only had two, don't get me wrong, but we've had two different groups. Two different people from the same group show up sometimes, and a little bit of the consistency there. But
it's sort of like our group. It's whoever is available and can make it.
Right.
Although I agree that the prime world would be that everyone from every group would be there.
And Councilor Mark Bolt showed up and gave a discussion, and I had a nice talk there and kind of gave us a little insight of what's going on. So I don't know, Barbara, what else did you pick up from there?
Well, I think you hit it. I think Ridgefield is a very forward-thinking community, and that they're setting the bar for a lot of interesting ideas that we might garner from. I really like the idea that they did with their builders, for example, mm-hmm. and just saying, you give us X percent of the land you buy
25%.
Towards
25%.
Yeah, towards parks, you know? Oh, boy, wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? So you don't end up with these little ugly, tiny pocket parks.
I'm working on a project of 400 housing subdivision that I'm getting the experience of what that's like. I'll tell you, we're going to have to work on that a little more. It's scary.
You're going to have to what?
We're going to have to work on that a little more because it's a little bit scary.
Yeah. Yeah, you get the strong population.
They're not giving you that 25% in a big chunk. It's
at Ridgefield?
Yeah.
Is it in writing, or are builders just voluntarily doing it?
No, this is
part of their.
It's part of their ordinances now.
They did. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So that was something that they brought up and discussed that I'd like to follow through on our side a little bit. The other interesting thing was a side conversation I had with Mark Bolt, and that was regarding, you know, how we've come together and been and been concerned about properties that are at risk that we purchase. We put a lot of research into land before we purchase it. And we think that we're going to have a park there eventually. And then things like the East Pearson property out there where we went out.
Pearson Air Park?
East Fork of Lewis. That catches on my tongue every time. Or like Olana's experience with the Cougar Creek Woods. You know, that's been a battle for over 10 years. And I said, you know, I think we've talked about it at this table several times about rezoning to parks. Park zoning, when we purchase the land, would really protect the lands. And I finally found out from him, I did not know that Bill's staff cannot rezone it at the time of the purchase, which just to me just seemed it would be part of that process flow, that once you purchase the land, you rezone it to parks. He said that has to be requested by an external organization. And I said, really? Like who? He said, like you. So folks, that's something that I think that our park subcommittee needs to really take a look at and see exactly how that process works today. Maybe we got some input here. I don't know.
Just listening.
and how we might fit into the process flow if it behooves us for this Parks Advisory Board to once a year turn in a request that these lands that were purchased during that calendar year be rezoned, because it can only be done once a year.
The land can only be.
They only do it once.
The land itself can only be rezoned once.
Yes.
You can't multiple. Okay.
Yes.
But you can do it at any time.
Yeah. So we can turn in that request. But we need to look at how we can stabilize a process to help protect park lands. I mean, let's face it. We shouldn't put our energies to repeatedly going out and campaign to protect the land.
That should be part of the annual review. So, I mean, it's a long process and strict deadlines, and you just have to be prepared.
Okay.
So, anyway, I thought that was a worthwhile conversation.
And I think the only other point I'd make out of the presentation and the meeting was that there is a great concern, and we all have it, with maintenance costs. And how do we replenish, you know, how do you fund the maintenance costs? Because the lady, I forget her name, from Vancouver.
Holly
drew the graph that she's seen, and it shows that, you know, yes, the pricing of land is going up. That's great. But the problem is it doesn't generate income. Maintenance costs, you know, it's a cost. It's not a revenue. And parks aren't necessarily a revenue. They have some revenue attached to them. So anyway,
When we went for our MPD, they did too, you know, because we were together.
Right.
And theirs didn't pass and ours did.
Right. And that's another thing, is to find a consistent vehicle or a consistent process to where we can do that with.
We're fortunately not in that same pickle that they are, but there are sisters and brothers, so we are concerned too. You're right.
Right. So, and that's been an age-old problem. I don't know that we, much like Ridgefield got creative and created their partnership again, I think we're going to have to find, all of us involved in parks are going to have to find some creative ways to partner with other entities to try to fund some of this. And so
that's what Councillor Bolt's presentation, you know, he's kind of at the 500-foot level, you know, just saying in general that, you know, talking about the Blue Ribbon Commission, if you will, and that, you know, we need to try to partner with all the other entities where we can. So I think that's in motion, if you will. I don't know how fast that's going to, you know, get back to, you know, if there's going to be some, you know, interlocal agreements signed at some point in the future or not, but it's just, you know, making sure that we stay engaged with all the other jurisdictions and try to work towards a common goal. I think that was the message that he was trying to portray at the LPAT meeting. So that's good.
It's good meeting.
Bill, can we go back for a minute with Commissioner Olson here?
Yes.
And mention just what our concern was with that issue we were talking earlier.
Impact fees.
Payment.
Impact fees. Impact fees, yeah.
So Bill, before you go any further, yeah. I think I have the answer. So 8202050 says that the county has to provide at least one form of deferral. So it can be final inspection, certificate of occupancy, or time of closing for the first sale. Under the Clark County Code, we have opted for the deferral option of issuance of occupancy permit. So I'll have to talk to Lori to find out what she's talking about.
Okay.
In regards to that, because that's not what I'm seeing. The state law does allow for it, but from what I can tell, Clark County does not.
Okay.
If that helps.
Okay.
Do just a summary for Councilor, because I'm sure this is something that we're going to talk a lot more about in the future. So.
Yeah, I had a discussion with Lori Dabowski earlier today, and it sounds like the schools were asking for their funding was asking with all this new development going on. And so with the new law, she told me that her interpretation was that the developers were pushing the paying the PIF, CIFIT, PIF fees after the sale of the home, so it actually kind of fell on the new property owner. And not the developers.
Well, no. Well, I think that's potentially a misinterpretation.
That's what we're kind of wondering.
Yeah. Okay. So the developer still pays all those impact fees. They just don't pay it till they get certificates of occupancy. So, and you wouldn't think somebody would move in prior to getting their certificate of occupancy. So, rather than paying it up front, they've got more time to get those houses built and less out of pocket up front. But they still pay them. The homeowner, the homeowner pays all of them.
Correct.
But, sure. Yeah. So that comes directly out of the developer, not the homeowner.
I think
the developer is responsible. Correct. At the end. So that clarifies it. So yep. It didn't sound quite right to any of us.
It just delays those fees getting into the accounts of the schools and road funds and what have you. So
I do have one question. You said that was the county. So if it's city jurisdiction, could they have a different? So maybe the schools is looking at the city as to where's the money from these sales, and it's not county related. So that could be
all that money goes through the county anyway, not the city.
Yeah, and I believe that at least for school impact fees, the county and the cities have adopted the same fees. If traffic impact fees and others, I can't speak on that.
They're different.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. So we've had several people come in since we started the meeting, and I just wanted, including
Sawyer
Olson, I wanted to see if anybody wanted to speak publicly, just to give them an opportunity. Does anybody? Go ahead.
Just a very quick one.
Why
the Neighborhood Association is going to have the 4th of July parade in Palaida Park that was built by the community, for the community, and the parks, it's public parks, so. We welcome any and all of you to attend and participate fully. Bring your in-laws, outlaws, anybody who wants to belong to your clan. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else? We're all good?
Okay, just wanted to make sure that everybody Councilor Olson, do you want to say anything?
You know, I actually wasn't. I just was going to kind of sit and listen.
No, you don't have to. I just wanted to give you the opportunity if you did.
But,
so.
But I'll probably be coming to more of these because I'm interested and want to work with Diana at the foundation and want to work with Bill about how we, just how we work with you guys to build and continue to build this parks picture and trails. And so, okay. Yeah.
You're
so
more than welcome. Thank you. We really appreciate you showing.
Absolutely.
All right, so we'll get back on the agenda here. The Parks Tour update. Bill, you want to?
Parks Tour update? Well, I thought it worked out pretty good. This is a new, or we're talking about the last one?
Well, you got both here. Yeah, recap and the next one coming up.
Moving forward.
Yeah.
I thought the last one went really well. So we went out and seen several new sites, and that was really a good day. The one going forward is next Friday, and we're going to go to Harmony Sports Association.
Great.
Look at the new field that's in the process of being installed. So that's the third turf field that's going in. And so we'll go take a look at that. And you won't be there, Jay. But,
no, I won't.
Sean will be there.
Yeah, Sean is aware of it. Yes.
And then we're also going to go from there, just a half mile up the street, to Pacific Community Park to see the new VMSSA, or Vancouver Municipal Senior Softball field that's being dedicated on the 17th. And so that field is ready to go. In fact, they've actually had their inaugural play on it, if you will.
Oh, did they?
But, okay. The dedication is this coming up Saturday on the 17th. Exhibition game, which I think I'm going to be involved with.
I was going to say, aren't you scheduled to play in the?
I believe I am.
Exhibition.
Yes.
Can I add one event to that, Bill?
Yes.
On the 17th as well, for anybody who would like to join in, we're going to do a field trip to Camp Hope, which is out in Battleground. And Camp Hope is one of the programs that we are so very happy to back and give money to. It's such an impactful program, and we're hoping that if you would like to come, we're going to be there from 11 to 1:30. They're going to give us lunch, so I need the RSVP from you because Simply Time is catering, and then we're going to present the grant check that we were able to get them. So please come out and see this. This is one of the things I'm so excited about. Mm-hmm. I've been to an escort field.
And unfortunately, I committed myself to the
That's okay.
Yeah. And we did do
one. Well, Karen Rebell will be there.
Yeah. I have a birthday on my calendar.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I didn't show you.
And then Kelly has something on the 17th also.
Yeah.
Which is the annual spring cleanup of the Evergreen Arboretum.
How long does that go for, Kelly?
That's all day.
All day long? Maybe I'll come out and see you afterwards.
It'll be good.
I'm still able to walk.
Is that field trip on the 17th only to those two areas?
What's that?
The field trip on the 17th, the parks tour on the 17th.
It's actually on the 16th.
On the 16th Friday.
On Friday. Yeah, so it'd be...
I'm sorry, the 16th, yes. Yeah.
Harmony Sports Association and then to Pacific Park.
Okay, great.
We'll spend about an hour and a half together.
Where do we meet for that?
Let's meet up Harmony. Should we do that? Mm-hmm. Is everybody familiar with that?
Yeah, the Harmony Sports Complex?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
The information's on...
Yes, it's in your packet.
Oh, okay.
So you're not going to be there to bring us sandwiches this time?
No, I'm not. That's my son graduates that day.
Oh,
so,
that's
well, that's not important.
Probably going to have to be there for that. Oh, no, it is important. Trust me. It's been a little bit of a struggle. So. We want to make sure that happens. No.
So
we want to make sure.
Who provides your sandwiches for your tours, guys?
Nobody. We lucked out. They didn't service it. And usually we don't have them all. We bring our own.
Yeah. It's usually the manager.
I'm just giving
you treated us last time.
Because I could find you a sponsor for your lunches.
Oh, yeah. We could do that.
Okay.
All right. And then you brought up, Bill, the new ball field celebration on the 17th.
Yes. It's on the 17th at 10 o'clock in the morning. And then... there's going to be some high school bands playing, and then Councilor Bolton and I will be giving a speech on that, and then I think the game will ensue afterwards.
Okay, all right. When's batting practice? Do we get to watch you warm up? And,
all right. You know, I live near Harmony, both these places, and they've been using this also now for about 2 weeks. 3 weeks?
At Harmony?
The softball field. Yeah.
This new softball field.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They've had a couple games and some practices out there. I've talked to the guy who does the watering out there. He's a volunteer. Goes over and turns on the spigot.
Well, this was delayed, wasn't it?
From
the original.
It was delayed because of rain. They couldn't
get
the field completed.
Okay.
So this is the new date.
No, I'm talking about the guy for the one.
volleyball.
Oh, or volleyball. Oh, yeah, for the men's softball.
Okay, and then the last item of unfinished business, Barbara, you want to talk about the bylaws?
Oh, I got the revisions in that we discussed last time.
All right.
And I think that they really made them just a little clearer or stronger. Okay. And I don't have anything to add from last time.
Okay, we need to make a motion so that we can adopt these officially. So
hopefully everyone
make a motion that we adopt the bylaws as described in the handout.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. Is that right?
Yeah.
Second. All right. Any further discussion?
All right. I'd like to thank Barbara for all her hard work on this.
Yes.
I'll second that.
So, yeah.
Yay, Barbara.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Passes. Unanimously, obviously. All right. Great. And thank you very much, Barbara, for all that work.
The team worked on it.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Real quick, in relation to that, are we still working on a logo?
I will say that I kind of let that one slide since we weren't moving forward on the attending safety complex meetings, etc.
Okay.
I still think it's a good idea, personally, but
maybe
sometimes if no one else sees the strong value and such, I don't have to have my way all the time, Kelsey, just most of the time.
Well, maybe we can revive it or talk about reviving it at some point. I mean, I think I think it's important.
I always think it's important to brand yourself, but it didn't seem to. I mean, that was just a feeling I got. Shall we move forward with that again? I'm asking the rest of the table.
Anybody else? Strong?
I think a logo would be good.
Yeah. We're talking about a logo for Clark County Parks Advisory Board, specific to us.
Specific to us.
Okay. Why don't we bring that up next month in the new business, and we'll... If you want to...
All right, you can mull on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did our little temporary one when we did the picnic because I do think it's important to have a visual interpretation that when people see it, they say that's us.
What did that look like?
No, I can bring the big...
I was going to say...
Do you have the big banner?
We had some to start with. That would be...
Because I got a banner
with it. We had several ideas, several thoughts.
Yeah, we've got a banner with it on there. Okay. Maybe you could bring that to our next meeting.
The
big one that we hung from for the picnic.
I hope I have that. I'll look.
You better.
Yeah.
Those are not cheap.
Well, we had several. We had several examples and thoughts, didn't we, at one time?
Yeah, you didn't. I'm trying to remember exactly what the banner looked like. And
well, I think it was the two guys on either side of a bridge, and they're building a bridge together.
Yeah, with the bridge, building a bridge.
That was in our meeting.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, it was in the summer report.
Building bridges.
For the county,
that
was
going to
build a bridge?
No.
Oh,
you
stinkers.
Yeah,
kind of like, wow.
Yeah, it was in your...
It was
tearing apart a potential bridge.
Can we build a trail, maybe, instead of a bridge?
I think the trail might be a better idea.
Yeah.
But I think there was a secondary. That was the one for the meeting.
Right.
I'm going to have to go back and look.
So,
but you all know I lost my hard drive, so I'm resurrecting stuff.
As I recall, the last time we were talking about logos, we were actually asking for different ideas for logos.
Yeah,
right.
We had all of them that were submitted, everybody didn't like. Remember, there was we want a picnic
consensus.
Table, we don't want the picnic table. We want a big tree, we want a little tree. And it just petered out. But we can pull it out and dust it off again.
Okay.
And maybe get some new ideas now.
Sounds good.
We'll work on that. All right. New business. The Otto Brown
Otto
Park
Brown,
plans.
Neighborhood Park. So this is the concept of Otto Brown plan. This one I haven't asked for because I haven't seen it until today. This was done probably back in the year 2010. Otto Brown is... It's on the southeast corner of the Green Meadows Golf Course, so it abuts the golf course itself. So this is what, 64th Avenue, if I'm not mistaken, right along here. Green Meadows Golf Course is right here.
Wait, you're thinking of Kelly Meadows?
No, no, no.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Kelly
Meadows. We can bump Kelly Meadows
up. Otto Brown on the wrong park. And this one is east of 152nd and south of Northeast 99th Street. And I don't know if we want to bring it up on GIS.
Would you do that? That would help me a lot if we could pull it up real quick.
I'm going to pull up GIS real quick.
So it's these two parcels.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, so this is kind of a dead-end street right now. There's a Class 3 barricade that separates this whole new community from this older community that's been existing. We've had this park for quite a few years. The master plan was done on it from, let's say, 2009, 2010. The whole site plan, the engineer drawings were at 100% ready to go back in 2011. And we couldn't do anything with it. We had to shelve it because of the economy, the Great Recession. So it's been sitting there for the last 5 years, if you will, ready to go at 100%. And so the permit actually expires at the end of this year, December 31st. And if we want to avoid having to go through the entire permitting process and spending the tens of thousands of dollars to go through this process again, we need to get this park started this year. And so Scott Brantley is now working on it, and thank you to the board for approving the spring supplemental. This is one of the decision packages to basically get budget approval to start on this project.
Well, we know what it's like working with the county for permits.
So the intent is to go out to bid this summer and actually start construction this fall and at least complete one element of the park before year's end, so that permit carries through.
That's how that goes.
And then with the intent also of completing the park in early to mid 2018. So
what part of it are you thinking of pulling out of it? Have you thought through that yet?
We don't know yet. I'm kind of leaving it up for construction management. It might be as simple as putting the perimeter fencing up around it, as far as construction fence and silt fencing, taking care of the clean water actions. That might be it. If it has to be a usable recreation function, then I'll let construction management decide what that might be. So it might just be as simple as putting the utilities in, some of the at the street.
And we're not fully developing it because we don't have the PIF yet for it?
No, we have the PIF. It's there.
We have enough to fully develop it?
Yes, we do. It's all there. So it's just a matter of getting
We're just going to get feet on the ground to keep things firm, but we're going to keep moving forward to fully develop it, right?
It'll be developed by mid-2018. So once we get started this fall, we'll just keep going until
What does the private property owner right adjacent to this park feel about all this thing?
What's the house?
Yeah, what does the private property owner right adjacent to this park feel about this development coming in?
Oh, I'm sure they're
supportive. Have we had any feedback from them?
Yeah, when it comes to the parks, when we get a new park, these people here, this development was constructed probably in the 2009-10 timeframe, because I remember when we were out here before the big recession, these homes were in. This one came in most recent, and these folks have been here since probably the 80s, 90s. That's a much older subdivision with property owners that own land. And so everybody's been waiting for this park for a long time.
I think he's talking about the one that's kind of surrounding
it. I was, yeah, thank you.
This here?
No, adjacent
to your right.
Kind of
the house right in the middle.
Here?
This one, yeah.
I haven't talked to them, but I'm assuming that they're anticipating that's going to be a fully developed park and want to see it happen.
Because it looks like they've got access to it on the right, from my side, the right of that house. There's an access point right adjacent to
it. Yeah, there's actually access through. I don't know why this Class 3 barricade is sitting right here.
Yeah.
It's been there for pretty much since we bought this property. It came down for the development of this subdivision, then it went right back up again. I don't know if that's ever going to come down or what the stipulation is with all the property owners, why it's there. They may not want it to be a circulation road.
But Bill, did you say this was two properties, the one to the
right? Both these parcels make up the park. So this piece and then this piece right here.
And that piece to the right is going to stay trees and what looks like it?
The trees are going to stay in place. There might be some that have to go. But let's go to the next shot. We'll kind of give you a shot of, show you what we got. So this is actually, here is the concept plan. So you can see all the trees are still in place, but you're going to see some meandering walkways that come through it. Some play features here, the main play feature here, an entrance up here. And then, don't know about access down here. Yeah, we got access right into here. Let's go to the next one real quickly. So you can kind of see more of the features and more detail. This is off the construction drawings. So you can actually see the circulation of the walkways that surround the park.
Great trails. Mm-hmm. Great that's trails here. If you're taking a walk.
Oh, there was
a
stroller.
Scroll down.
I had a close-up of the...
scanned in into one. Use the slider bar on the second year next.
On the other side, you were on the left and right one.
The concept drawings,
so
here's a slider bar on the side.
There we go. Here's some close-ups of what's going on here. So, primary playground area, right in here. You got tables, benches, the main playground area. There's actually quite a few play structures. It's kind of neat. Here's your tables, benches, and I'm sure there's going to be some pavers as well, you know, for that people can buy.
How many total acres, Bill?
It's about 6 acres, so it's probably five.
With the both pieces?
Yeah, with both pieces. Okay, next one here. This is the NatureScape play system. It's kind of adorns the main playground. So you got, we call these lily pads. These are stumps that are buried in the ground, about 8 feet tall, different heights the kids can go on them, logs. We've got boulders, all that kind of stuff. You can see there's kind of a circular pathway that comes down to kind of a bullseye here. So it's kind of a neat concept.
Goes right back to what they were talking about in the intertwine prescription play, mm-hmm. or the importance of having the nature play.
Absolutely. So we're trying to incorporate that into the Battery Park we're building now, so it's pretty prevalent. Here's the entrance, a little closer profile. See the tables, so knockout areas, and then the northern entrance. Maybe one more. I think it shows the basketball court. Here's the basketball court right here. So what's nice, it's a big enough park, we put a lot of amenities into it, plus have an area to, you know, to get to maybe play a little bit of baseball, that kind of thing.
Baseball?
Yeah. Okay, I think that is it. So I've got the 100% plans on my desk, and that's going forward, so I'm
nice.
Happy to see that.
Well, we've been long waiting for it. So it's good.
Yes, yeah. For sure. And this park should have been built basically in 2012.
Yeah. But
this is getting built now.
Oh, it's good to hear.
Is this an MTV park, though?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Curtain Springs.
Curtain Springs. Want to bring that one up here? So this is another one that was approved in the spring supplemental. We're basically asking for budget authority. And so the funding that we're using to develop this site came from the Schaefer sale. We sold our interest of the Schaefer property back to the city. We jointly bought with $10. So we got $1.01 million from the city of Vancouver, and so we're reinvesting in the same 5th district to this site here. So this is Curtin Springs Wildlife Habitat area. And so Jane Tesmer-Kleiner, Scott Brentley are both the PMs. Jane's actually acting as the landscape architect on this project. And so this is the original master plan that probably occurred back in 2009-10 timeframe. But there's been some changes that we want to denote. And so I know we're going to put an oak savanna in here. We're putting owl boxes in here. This is where the barn currently exists, right in this area here. It's supposed to be a viewpoint, a small shelter, and it's supposed to be like a little viewpoint out here in the wetlands area. Dave and I were talking about that earlier today. We're hoping that we can put this in. This bridge is already there. There's a culvert crossing here. You've got Crossroads Community Church, I think a membership of about 2,200 people. That's a lot of volunteers, and we've already got them engaged, so that's cool.
Nice. Can you bring up a bigger map that shows us where this is?
Oh, sure.
If it's down by Crossroads.
Are the owl boxes what they installed last weekend out there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we've got Boy Scout projects where they're actually doing that. Came up with a really good design. And so we've got two barn owls that reside in the existing barn that we're going to be tearing down because it's just too far along to save. So we're kind of trying to get the owl boxes out ahead of time, so hopefully they'll get used to them and migrate to them.
Yeah.
Do
you want
them?
GIS?
Just a
GIS.
Yeah,
GIS.
Just north of Green Meadows.
this is Patton Parkway right here. Home Depot right here. And
I just didn't realize Kurt was there, and I'm just curious how that fits in.
Yeah, Kurt Springs. This is actually the headwater. Headwaters to Kurt Springs. So we got Green Meadows Golf Course on the south perimeter, 78th Street to the west.
Okay. I see.
This is not part of the annexation.
It's just right up.
It is.
Here we go.
Big names over there.
So here's Green Meadows, Carol's Corner Restaurant. And this is the storage place. The county owns this piece here, as well as these here.
It's crossroads.
We now own this 33.65 acre site, which is fantastic. We knew it was coming to us way back in...
How many acres was it?
33.65.
This was the donated land area.
Yes, yes. Elizabeth B. Swanson, she basically...
What'd you decide to do with the house there?
What's that?
What'd you decide?
We're probably going to have to tear it down.
I love that porch.
I know, but the construction doesn't really allow for it to be opened up on the inside. It's like small boxy rooms and it's going to be a rough one. It probably costs us like $100,000 just to try to turn it into some kind of a community room. Okay. It could take some complete engineering to make that thing happen. It might be a lot of trip to tear it down. So.
Is the land that's to the, I guess it's to the west that you said the county owns, is that all going to be part of a wetland system?
It's clean water right now. It's pretty much
wet, a
conservation site.
It's not going to be more developed. Yeah.
Correct.
And as far as the other side of the road is wet too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. This is all kind of wetlands here. Okay. County owns the...
So what we're doing fits nicely with what will happen in the future.
Absolutely.
Right.
So this whole part of it is actually wet too. We have all this usable acreage. So we want to basically buffer along that because it is pretty loud when you're out there. It's basically a highway. Elizabeth actually planted us. These are all giant sequoias, but we actually do need to fill this in. So we're gonna be doing some oak savannas. We're gonna be doing all kinds of different things, butterfly habitat, and it's a wildlife habitat area. So we're gonna try to enhance it.
So you'll be updating this particular drawing for us.
Yes. Yeah. That'll be forthcoming. Probably in the next, I would say, 3 to 6 months, we'll start shooting out some updates to you.
Okay.
It depends on how fast they work.
Who did you say the landscape architect was?
Jay Testa-Kleiner.
Oh, cool.
Right. She used to work for Vancouver Park Parks.
She's part of it.
She's a sharp position. So.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And then Children's Garden, plan and construction. Bill.
Okay. Melotta can help you out for this one, possibly, but you want to bring that one up? Okay, so Melotta presented this plan to me on the day of the Parks Foundation luncheon, which was great. And so... she wanted to get our buyout on this, and so this is going to go into. Did you have that aerial shot of Goleta Park by chance?
I
sent it to you.
I think it's in the package here.
One in the package here.
Okay. I want to show you that so you can get the context of where it's at in Spring Park.
Of course, the area is located right across from the Piggy Shelter. There's a Goleta Nature
Reserve
location, so it's
donated. Okay, so here we are. This is Goleta Park, main parking lot area right here. You've got the restroom here, the shelter, playground, soccer field, and then of course, as you know, we own this piece now and turn this into a parking lot. But the children's garden will go right into this area here. So it's kind of nestled right in between the whole main use area, which is great. And so I'm going to go back to that concept plan, Jeremy.
I thought it was going to be back on that neighborhood.
No, that's another part that was approved as part of that whole master plan.
Oh, that's separate. Oh, okay, sorry.
And that was supposed to be a neighborhood park, but it was approved on a master plan as such.
Right.
But it's on the north side at the north gate.
Well, that's where I thought this was going, I guess.
This one is going right next, right across the picnic shelter that we donated into the landscape area that we landscaped and irrigated.
Yeah. So last year we received a Parks Foundation grant for $10,000 to support the development of this children's garden. And so it's a pretty small structure really. It's less than 5,000 square feet as far as surface area. And it's gonna have basically your impervious surfaces as well as pervious surfaces. A couple arches, one here, and I think we're still working on that, right, Melotta?
Yes, and of course we have connected with Justin Patterson at the foundation mission, And he has 21 years experience with Portland and adjacent area parks. So he had recommended that the arches and the gateway would be built from the bent or curved material like you use on the ends of playground equipment, but you know, smaller, but they will be in graduated heights to make it look like a rainbow, because that's the first thing that all of the kids with special needs had asked for the past 10 years.
Okay. All right, and so I'm going to cruise down to the next sheet, Jeremy. So this is kind of, this is an earlier concept that was before this one, but so it just kind of shows you the boulders that are going to be inside.
Yeah, and of course, this was alternative number two, because alternative number one was to do nothing, and that was on my we got about 30 or some events where people were coming up to us to do something for kids of all abilities, whether physical mobility or mental abilities. So we wanted to have an inclusive area that would be a little bit, would provide a little bit more activity than just a passive sitting and talking.
Okay,
and so this one was prepared by Gene Akers, who was working for the city of Vancouver/County Parks. Mm-hmm. And so we call it alternative number two.
This is just a grading plan.
It's our survey, yeah.
So in this is one of the features. Go ahead and pull up.
So in this one, as you go back to the concept of the rainbow, this is one of the features that would be in one of those little rectangles that are reserved. And then, of course, as you go down, as you scroll down through the features, it'll see some of the other one, but that's another one. And all of these are handicap accessible, including wheelchair accessible.
That's cool.
And of course, the drums were a big, giant favorite of many, many kids, especially those who have either sight or hearing impairments, because even if you cannot hear, some vibrations that come from those drums can be felt. But we also have another, this is from what they have at the Hood River Park. And of course, this is very colorful, but we can combine all of those. It all depends on the cost, it all depends on how much space we have. But this is just the concept, it's draft, it's very flexible. But these, the kids can put their arms around it and feel the vibration.
So a lot on these features, I'm not sure if we're going to be able to implement them or not. It depends on if they require fall protection, which kind of gets us into a different area.
That's why we're working with Justin, because he has a lot of experience in Portland area parks, mm-hmm. As a park director and as a consultant. But he also said that they do not need a lot of quote unquote paved surface, mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. because there's lawn around it. It's all up to your guys' approval and or recommendation. And like I said, this is a very flexible plan, very flexible recommendations, but we had shown to you only the features that were at the top of the list of about 7,500 kids. And what we consider to be safe.
Okay, so basically, once we give the approval, so the one thing we want to do today is ask the Parks Advisory Board for a recommendation to move forward with this. I know you've known about this because we've talked about it, but I don't think I've actually asked for a vote to recommend this. And so with that, then we can provide a recommendation back to the Flight and Neighborhood Association, who can then take it to final engineering, correct?
Correct. And of course, we're thinking about maybe another alternative for redesign based on recommendation of this group, because we already have a lot of public input that they have volunteered at many different events. But we want to know as to whether or not these concepts are acceptable, as well as before we start advertising the Parks Foundation account for people to donate into. We have to have some sort of a concept.
There is no Parks Foundation account. You have no special account set up with the Parks Foundation.
I thought we did, but I guess we didn't. So we actually need to set one up then. Now, are you collecting?
There's a Philida Park, but there's not
no,
one.
No, we're not.
You're not.
Children.
Okay.
Not have
oh, it's not separate.
It's not a separate. Yeah. It's okay. Not a separate account. You have a Philida account, absolutely, but you do not have a separate or distinct account for this. So according to our disbursement, if you're going to be running funds that are specifically delineated for this project, you will want to set up a special account separate from your Phillida Park account.
Okay.
I think I had sent back some information on that last week.
We have any money in the Phillida Park account?
Yeah, hold on.
Melinda, are you so far along that you're really committed to this company? We have a local company that builds playground equipment. Steve Kern lives right here in Vancouver. They built Fruit Valley Park, playground equipment. I just want to know.
We're not 100% committed, but we're just exploring our options, and this guy is in Portland.
Would you consider getting a hold of Steve Kern and seeing if they can provide, because they build the equipment right in Fruit Valley, and I sure like.
Oh, is that the metal?
Yes.
Yeah, because I did contact them in the past, and I know we didn't receive response back.
I can have him call you.
That'd be great.
I'm not quite sure I'm tracking on all these features with the plan design. I just want to make sure I understand. Are these all like alternative ideas to put in that footprint of where that rainbow site is going? Or all or none? Or I didn't connect that.
We see the rectangles.
Can we go back to that concept?
Yeah.
Quite a few rectangles there, yeah.
So then we have 1, 2, 3, 4 different areas where they will be placed. But those rectangles also represent either benches or boulders or carved animals from boulders that kids can sit on and play. And benches for the adults that cannot sit on the boulders. And also some interpretive plaques. And some of the interpretive plaques we were asked to put them in Braille and English.
Okay.
And of course, we'll be on history. So all those rectangles are not all of those features.
Okay.
But
they designate some type of an activity or some type of a feature, a bench.
Correct.
An interpretive panel, maybe one of these things, maybe something else.
Correct.
Okay, and that's in the 5,000 square foot.
Correct.
Yes, it's like
4,100. Okay. All right. Thank you. That helps me visualize it.
So, what are you looking for from us, Bill, on approval? Because I love the concept, which Malai already knows.
Just to recommend it.
Reminds me a lot of Disneyland.
So, the $10,000 that's the grant. Is that to develop the basic configuration that we see up on the screen right now?
$10,000 will probably go. So the engineering and everything, is that coming from the Phillida Neighborhood Association?
Well, we were told in the past that the Parks Foundation accounts, but of course we built two other parks as well right now. But we were told originally that we cannot use the Parks Foundation accounts until after we paid for something and then get reimbursed for it. That changed. Then we were told that we cannot use the Parks Foundation accounts for design, engineering, for
permits. Correct.
It's cost.
So even if we are out there asking for donations to go into the Parks Foundation account, we would not be able to use those for engineering and permits. Is that correct?
I believe so, and I'm still looking. You do not have a special Parks Foundation account.
So it's still the Phillida account, so that $10,000
Clark County Phillida is a community grant account. That's a completely separate thing. And that account has to, any funds that come dispersed out of that account has to go directly into the language, to go to the language of how you wrote your grant.
Yeah.
So for whatever you wrote for and that was in that grant,
it was for the children.
That's what we could cover.
And of course the grant that you're referring to was for the picnic.
But you don't understand. I can't put money in to that account. That's a grant account. It's separate from a special account.
So we need to set up a special account so we have funding coming in.
Yes, so if you have donations coming in, it'll go right into that special projects account, and anything you're submitting to the Parks Foundation out of that grant money will just pay out of that. But they're two separate and distinct entities.
Yeah, and the other one I think is already used up for that special picnic.
And what was that called?
That was a Phillida Park account. And that would have been used up. So, but when you and I talked, you said there was a Phillida Children's Area account that was set up with the $10,000 grant that came from the
community. Well, the $10,000 grant is definitely for that particularly.
Okay, again.
Well, I sat on the review committee and it was for the children's
I don't have the grant in front of me, but they're two separate, she's talking about two separate and distinct accounts.
Yeah.
Right. So
yes, exactly.
So the grant is $10,000 for a Philida Park for Children's Garden, but that's fine. It's going to be used for that. But any funds coming in, can't mingle with that grant. So we set up a separate account for that.
There's no special account called a Philida Park account anymore that was a special project account. There is not. I've got the current balance sheet. You can find it. It's not here. There is no account.
Okay. So we'll set one up. Is that okay to add it?
Yeah, absolutely. We love special accounts, but it just gets really tricky from my understanding. And again, I'm, you know, this is going on my third month, but they're two separate and distinct things because anything that comes out of those grant accounts is written for specifically in the body of the grant.
Right.
And I can't pay for anything that's not in the body of that original grant.
Right. And I think the grant is going to go towards hard costs, not soft costs.
Correct.
Right.
And I've got a copy of the disbursement here if you want
to. We never cover soft costs.
Look at it.
In the answer form, we just throw them.
So let me know what the account is named and what it's specifically for, so that way we can advertise it to the community and how it donates specifically for that, because we still have the subject of profit account for $25K.
Sounds like you first got to set up that new account.
So, okay, so to basically bridge the cost of this entire project, if you will, we're probably going to be using PIF development funds for that. So whatever, you know, costs that overrun what any donations have come in plus the grant, they're going to use PIF. And so that's going to require a staff report to the board. And
so the PIF money would only go to the design and engineering, or?
Well, I think the grant money, the $10,000 goes towards hard costs like the play structure,
yeah,
that you see,
yeah,
the pavers, all that kind of stuff.
Hard costs.
Not a problem there. As far as the final engineering and all that kind of stuff, if it has a cost attached to it, is any of that being donated, you know, Mulatto, or is that being charged?
Well, so far we've had some donations and Philida Neighborhood Association has spent about $25,000 into this.
Okay.
Plus we have about $10,000.
So anything going further would have to be paid for then, essentially? The final,
correct.
Final,
that's why we need to know as to what the terms of the foundation account is going to be and what the real name is. And then you and I need to talk about the permit.
So that sounds like we're funding the wire for permitting. So talk to Ali from our group downtown. It just looks like permitting won't have to be required because of the size of the footprint, and the clean water is too small of a footprint for that to trigger any type 1 requirements. So at least that we can skate by and save those costs. So we do have to have some kind of engineering work to be done. And so
is the intent then to try to raise most of the funds?
That's the hope. Is that if we set up accounts, then
yeah, right,
all the folks that are engaged can start pouring money into that account, and we can use that for soft costs, and then we the county can bridge the gap.
And that's open for discussion.
Yes.
This is not the concept.
I'm
pushing back across the building apart on residents, but Philida always wants a little higher scale,
mm-hmm,
and so they go out and they fundraise to get those little extra gigas that we would not put in a typical neighborhood park.
Right, and they can run that stuff through that special project because it makes it easy for them.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion you're looking for today.
To support this project going forward.
Supporting the project going forward and the grant, with the grant that's
going. So when I do my staff report, public outreach session, I can say yes, this was recommended by
it. With the idea that a good deal of funding will be contributed by the community.
Correct.
I would like that added.
But at some point in time, I've got to put a dollar figure.
Right. And Barbara just pointed out that they want a notch above our standard for parks. So
yeah,
anything above that standard ought to be fundraised forward.
Exactly. And they're more than willing, as we've seen.
Yeah. We know they are.
And just to clarify, the $10,000, I'm confused where we left off on that. It is accessible to be put towards the Children's Garden.
The Children's Garden special account is the community grant that was written. Whatever was contained in the body and the language of that account is what can be paid. Anything that's not in the language or body of that grant cannot be paid.
So if the, because we saw one concept plan, an older one, and then a newer one. So if something on the, wasn't included in that verb, it can't be included.
Correct.
I got it. I'm
but generally that. Speaking, it's going to be playground equipment.
Yeah. Yes.
So if it's a change of playground equipment, that's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I
just wanted to be on the same page.
Right. The grant was written for the infrastructure, so it's
I've not looked at the grants from the
year. It was a year ago.
The year I, before me.
Yeah.
That I just know that there, per our policy, whatever's in the language of the grant, nobody's going to be specific and say it needs to be model X, Y, Z of this.
Yeah.
But if it's playground equipment and she submits a thing for playground equipment, we can pay it. But if you submit a thing for
a water feature,
feature that wasn't in the body of the grant. But that's not saying that once the special project is set up, if you want to raise $10,000 for a water feature, you can put contributions in that account all day long that goes to that water feature. Mm-hmm. So they're two separate and distinct accounts.
Okay, I make a motion.
There you go.
That would be... Sorry. I make a motion that we support this project and that we support it in the way that it's a community effort to raise the funds beyond the standard level of our park development ideas, And that we support the Neighborhood Association in that fundraising for this project to our best ability. Is that enough?
That's perfect. I second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded.
Or do we need to have some portion that we want to make sure that we're not paying more than a certain amount? Or
yeah, we do that when he brought the bill to us.
We can do that when we get to find
it. Okay. I stand with my motion.
Yeah. All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? All right.
I won't be voting.
And that is
one abstention.
That way, if it does go out to bid.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
He's abstaining.
He's abstaining.
Aye.
Barbara Good.
Before we move on to the next thing, I think we skipped the Lewis and Clark Trail update from Bill. I don't know if there's any. I missed the ALPAD meeting, so I don't know if there was anything said there.
Okay, I can jump back to that real quickly. So we have this in your packet. This is the Lewis and Clark Trail update. And Kelsey, thank you for providing all those photos. So I asked Kelsey to actually provide photos of all the different entities who are involved, or who will be involved along with the trail corridor. And do you have this up on? If you do, I'll just go through it really quickly. And of course, at the ALPAD meeting update, we had a counselor there from the city of Washougal, and of course, I didn't have a picture of Washougal in it. But I asked Kelsey today if she could provide me a picture of downtown Washougal, as well as the Fort Vancouver, so that we kind of show all the different entities and all the national park features along the trail corridor. So we can go through this really quickly. So. Basically, this is the Bi-State Regional Trails Plan that was created back in 2010. Kelly had a big hand in that, as well as Dan Miller from the National Park Service. And so we basically just dusted this off. The Intertwine was looking for a collaborative project, and we thought this might be the one that brings everybody together, kind of in concert with the whole concept of Blue Ribbon Commission. So if we're going to work together collaboratively as all the entities around Clark County, we need a project to focus on together. So this is the one that came to mind. It's a 47-mile long trail. Start here in Washougal at the Steigerwald National Wildlife Refuge. It follows along the Columbia River alignment all the way through Camas, Washougal, the ports, Vancouver, Port of Vancouver, Clark County into the Ridgefield Wildlife Refuge and into Ridgefield itself. So let's cruise on. So it's a 47-mile long trail alignment. Many of these segments are kind of in place. We've got gaps, and I think that's going to be our primary focus, is to try to connect these gaps. We've got some pretty good size gaps here, from here to here or so, and then we've got a pretty good size gap here.
Probably some more of it actually developed along the Vancouver Lake there with Port of Vancouver already.
Yes, Port of Vancouver. I've been in touch with them, and they're actively working on reaching back towards the new waterfront trail that the city of Vancouver's putting in right now. And so that's their focus. We did talk to them some years ago about reaching down to Vancouver Lake, so that has actually been planned, but I haven't seen or heard anything from that. But we sat down some time ago and actually charted out a course down to Vancouver Lake. So from Vancouver Lake, obviously, you know, we've got a trail to Frenchman's Bar, but more recently, we're looking at the implications. This is pretty much this area right here is the area that I'm directly responsible for. It's in the county. It's out of the hands of other jurisdictions. And so I'm looking at different alignments already to see if we might need to go this side, the east side of Lake River. We're having a bit of a tough time with the National Wildlife Refuge. They don't want a multi-use trail on their property because some of those areas are off limits to humans altogether. So we're trying to work around that. Let's move on to the next one. Mm-hmm. So just real briefly, just Steigerwald National Wildlife Refuge there in Washougal. This is the plan that they're working on right now. They're going to breach their dike in two different locations, and so they can work on salmonoid enhancement. But they're also going to reroute the trail and bring it all the way, so that connection will be all the way down to these two properties. There's two privately owned properties that, with Conservation Futures, we're hoping that we can at least buy an easement to get this all the way to the county line, which is right here. And if we do have that easement, then we can eventually marry up to Friends of the Gorge from the, what's called Trails to Towns trail segment, that they're trying to put a trail in from Washougal all the way to Stevenson. And they're actually quite a ways far along on that project. I think they have one or two pieces that they have to acquire, and then they're going to start going after development. So then we've got Captain William Clark Park right here. Let's go to the next one, Jeremy. Here's Captain William Clark Park. Here's the Washougal Waterfront, which was recently constructed. That's another photo of it. That's the Waterfront Park Trail. I think this is 12 feet wide, if I'm not mistaken.
14.
Goes all the way back to within about a half a mile of Steamboat Landing, which is on the downstream portion of where Captain William Clark Park is located. So City of Washougal is actively working on getting that installed probably this next year. I understand they have the funding, whether their RCO grant goes through or not. They said they have the funding, so they're gonna make that connection. They've already bought the right of way. Okay. This picture of downtown Camas. Camas might be my biggest challenge when it comes to cities. They don't have any plans for any alignments along the Highway 14 corridor. They might have to route the trail in through the town.
Don't you have any influence with the city manager there?
Yeah, you have. Let's go beat up.
Pete Capel? Yeah. So I'm gonna work on him.
We're gonna have to have lunch with him.
Camas has a strong mayor. Pete Capel, it's Scott Higgins to call, and Scott Higgins is behind it.
But the two together.
I'm trying to work with the parks manager, if you will, right now. But moving on. Columbia Springs, of course, that's on Highway 14. And also, right now, Columbia Springs is the extent of a trail plan that's already been developed that takes you from Whitler Park down to Columbia Springs, which is actually east of the 205 Bridge. If we got that trail connected into Columbia Springs, that itself is a destination, plus it provides us our second access to Oregon.
Bill.
Yes.
This woman I'm not related to at all. She's not my sister. She's the volunteer coordinator at Columbia Springs.
Oh, right.
So I asked her to come today. She's on the subcommittee for trails.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give her a plug. Okay.
Thanks, person I don't know.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay, moving on. Okay, here's the Vancouver waterfront. So before this should be Fort Vancouver. That's actually a destination. And we actually have some parks like Woodland Park, Waterfront Park. But here's the new waterfront park that's being, this is the waterfront trail that's already in existence. That's a beautiful trail. Mm-hmm. Kelly was directly responsible for that. So thank you, Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay, next one up. So here's the brand new waterfront park that's being developed. So of course with that, we get a lot more trail that's being developed here. And of course, the Port of Vancouver is trying to reach back and make that connection right now. That's our priority. Next trail, here's the Port of Vancouver's trail. I think their trail is primarily in asphalt, which is fine. Here's our park, Vancouver Lake. Here's the Richfield National Wildlife Refuge. That's going to be a challenge. Here's the port of Richfield. And so I think this is actually, yeah, this is actually a future photo.
Yeah.
This crossing that goes over the railroad, so it illuminates these crossings that are somewhat dangerous. So that's the plan going forward. We just had our big paddle event out here this last weekend. That was great. A lot of fun. And here's downtown Richfield. And so the piece that we're working on right now, and I just seen a correspondence that came through, but we're looking at barriers right here. And in order to accomplish this, the one thing we're probably going to have to do is get the highway deeded over from Department of Transportation, Washington Department of Transportation, over to the county. And in doing that, this is a two-bridge solution right here. So Columbia River Estuary Stewardship, we've been working with them for years to put these two crossings in, which are already in existence. This is a culvert that came out, so it's a wide open channel. This is a bridge that is now constructed over Buckmeyer Slough, which ties into our trail, but makes a perfect connection right back to the highway. Barrier 3 is right here in the main use area of our park. So this is phase 2 right here. And barrier 3 is the dike road that comes out. The Ager piece that we just recently, actually we're working on buying, it's actually a private holding, just a little triangle right here. We're in the midst of trying to buy that as soon as we get the buyer to the table. And so that will allow us to put this bridge in. This bridge here is actually on Irwin-Origer Highway. And it's gonna be highly expensive to install because it has to be a highway grade. The Corps of Engineers that are working on, or in conjunction with Department of Fish and Wildlife, want a one bridge solution. That means one of these bridges has to go. And so what they're proposing to us is that we don't build this bridge, we just open this Buckmeyer Slough channel, which will effectively end this highway here, right in front of the park, and we reroute the road. I think there's another photo of that we'll show to you. Go ahead, Jeremy. Here's the bridge that's already in place from the number 2 crossing. Next one. Okay, so here's where the bridge is supposed to be at on Irwin-Origer Highway. This would be opened up, and then reroute the road onto our property right next to Buckmeyer Slough, come back up, and then all the way down. So essentially, the highway would end here. This would all become a multi-use trail. So you get about 1.25 miles. Let's go back to that last photo that shows all 4 crossings. Okay, right there. So the current crossing, the current trail, here's where the highway ends right now. This is the DOT's highway. That currently ends right now. There's a trail that goes all the way out to barrier number 1. What I'm seeing here is that what we could possibly do is put a bridge in here, and that, or actually, I'm sorry, not here, but over here, across the Lake River, and that'll give us a huge connection to Phillida. Because right now, this entire area is really landlocked by one highway that gets you there. If we were to put another pedestrian crossing in here, that would allow everybody.
Is that Lake River then?
That's Lake River right here.
So it would have to be a fairly high bridge to get the
not
smaller
really. Boats? It's navigable by boats, but they're not going to get any big enough boats that are out there because it's not that deep. Probably just regular fishing boats.
Okay.
So it'll be a pedestrian bridge. And then, of course, the county already owns this piece right in here. Right. Just to get us up, and actually the road that takes you down to Flyer Mortgage takes you past Flyer Park. But it would actually open up the whole area of Vancouver Phillida to the Vancouver Lake Corridor. It's pretty cool.
That'd really be cool.
Absolutely. And so Pat Lee and I will have to figure out where this trail actually goes. Going up this side of Lake River is fairly contentious with the fish and wildlife, or not fish and wildlife.
Well, they can be went over on that if we come up with some solutions.
Yes.
So I look at both, continue.
Yeah, we're looking at, well, that's part of this trail project is we're actually looking at the primary alignment and secondary alignments. So we can go as far in as, say, 3 miles inland. And so this is the piece I'm kind of working on right now. And so I've actually talked to Keith Henderson about taking over that section of highway. It's going to be non-DOT. After that, we don't have to worry about bringing up to any standards. It's going to be a multi-use trail. And so he's looking at it.
So it's one of the biggest dumping spots ever. So
shooting, illegal dumping, that, illegal shooting,
racing.
Oh, it's a mess down there. Yeah. So if we were to terminate that highway in front of the park, I think all that's going to go away. Okay, next slide. Here's all of our potential partners, our partners. We had a big meeting last June. We had a meeting last fall, and we've been basically going out, and Kelsey has joined me along with Dan Miller, and we've been reaching out to different jurisdictions over in Portland as well as here. And we are planning a big charrette this October, November, whenever Dan decides is the best time. We're probably going to bring in probably about 120 people. Dan's already committed to about 20 landscape architects to this project already, which is really cool. And we're going to have several stations where each jurisdiction will have control of their own area of this trail, and so the different cities. They said probably about 6 or 7 stations all together. And so that's what Kelly said is we need a much larger venue than this building to make that happen, so we'll find a location. It'll be on a Saturday, sometime in early November, hopefully on a rainy day so people will come.
They will. They'll come on a nice day.
How
many people would you be expecting?
About 300.
Yeah, I'm thinking 125.
I'm thinking 300.
Okay. So.
Well, if you would like, we have Peace Health coming up for our meeting in July. Mm-hmm. I could get that for us for free. It accommodates 200 people.
That would be good.
In Auditorium A and B, if you can set me a date in November.
Okay. Right.
And that's a local, you know, easy place to access, and it's free.
Thank you. That might be pretty good. If that doesn't work, I'm thinking about going up to the Clark County Convention Center, the Fairgrounds is a possible place.
Okay. The reason I say 300, Bill, is because in 2000, when we did the Lewis and Clark Centennial work, bicentennial, excuse me, we had 300 then.
You had 300 then.
And there's a lot more people interested in trails today than there was then.
Okay.
Well, I just think with this kind of partnership, and you've got 20 landscape architects coming, you've got the basis to build a constituency that we need to really move on, because we're under a lot of pressure, a lot of connectivity that is going to take a lot of power, I guess is the word I want to use, political power. The more we have there, the more political power we can have to get some of these really, because we're into the harder pieces of trail to build now. When I was doing it, it was the easy pieces.
Right.
So we got to have that political power.
Well,
so we got to have the numbers.
I think at the 11th, I've got 3 senators, 2 representatives, and I think a council member or 2.
Yeah.
So
that's why I say we've got to be thinking bigger, because they're not going to be very impressed with 150 people coming to a workshop.
Right, the more the merrier, and everybody's invited.
But we just need to plan it, and it'll happen.
Okay. Well, we do have some interest from the tribes. I need to reach out to Burlington Northern, Bonneville Power, EPA, and luckily we're actually working with them on this one bridge solution right now, which kind of engages them, which is cool. And of course, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. So
it's a great list. There's a lot there.
It is. And this list can be expanded, so we can go on page 2. Okay, I think that's it. This is our grant that we got, our technical services grant from the National Park Service to help us. And I need to revise that or renew it, because he's willing to help us for a second year in a row.
Oh, good.
So I got to get that in by the end of this month. So that is the brief deal on this. So I plan to give a presentation to all the folks on July 11th. So we'll see how that goes. So we'll get some deep pockets to dig in here.
That's what we need.
All right. We caught up then on the...
Yeah.
I think it's still you on the manager's report, so Bill. You want to take a breath?
Take a break? I'm fine. So just a quick update on the North Vancouver Mall annexation. So I'll meet with Julie Gannon and city staff and attorneys on next Thursday, that is. And hopefully we'll be getting fairly close on the interlocal agreement. I know I've talked to you about this already, but Kelly Meadows, which is an MPD park, we'll turn that over to them. It's currently undeveloped, but we also agreed that we will help them develop the park.
Why are we doing that?
Because, first of all, the folks that are living around that park.
They have an extra couple million bucks out of that annexation. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, so So these folks have been anticipating the developed park since the MPD has been approved. So back in 2006, we've owned the park since then. And so we've been collecting PIF fees all along. And so we've recently spent PIF fees for Tower Crest, which is in the same district, so PIF District 7. And that's basically-
It's not going into the city of Vancouver.
No, not yet. And so our next project was Kelly Meadows in PIF District 7. So to me, and this is my personal thought, is it's not about city or county, it's about the people who live there. So however that park gets built, it benefits the people, especially the ones who've been waiting for a long time.
Well, we committed it to them back.
We did, and so those 35 parks,
2005.
With the passage of the MPD, we promised that we would build them 35 parks, and so this is one of those 35. And so the PIF funds that we've got right now, probably in the neighborhood of about $200,000, but those will keep building up, and at some point in the future, it might take a few years to get up to close to $500,000 or $1 million. And share the cost for the city of Vancouver.
So would this interlocal come in front of the council for approval?
Yes, yes. So we're still, there's probably 3 or 4 interlocals that'll be coming your way, so
this is a hard one to swallow, I gotta tell you.
Is it?
Yeah, and I don't disagree with what you're saying with regard to, it's about,
the people.
It's about the people, absolutely. Financially, given that annexation,
Well, and quite honestly, they were asking for a lot, and we're giving them the park, and we're maintaining it because it's still the MPD, and the county is still capturing the money.
We have a work session on these interlocals before they come before us in a council hearing.
I think so. I think once we come to a closer agreement, because we're a little bit far apart right now, and so the city's been wanting past earnings in MPD, past earnings in
a piece
of REIT, and we said absolutely no REIT because we haven't been getting any.
$1.2 million a year to the positive for them on that annexation.
Right.
So, anyway.
Yes. And so, anything, what we're proposing is the section of PIF that they're taking over, they'll take any earnings after August 1st. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're proposing to them. And so, and talking to Julie Hinn, I said, is there any reason why we need to actually give you PIF if we're dedicating PIF funds towards the development of that park in the first place? And they want the money. They want future earnings.
No kidding.
They're going someplace else. Yeah.
So that's fine. I mean, I don't know if it's a trust factor or what, but so right now we don't have any other projects other than Kelly Meadows in that district, other than Kirk Springs, which is already funded. And so it comes back to the people.
Will the county keep Curtin Springs?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a regional.
So basically, in the old interlocal agreement, the original one that was created for Vancouver Clark Parks, if you will, there is an annexation language in that that says that if there's an annexation, those 35 parks, if whatever gets annexed would go over to the city, and the county would continue to maintain those parks because we're collecting the MPD funds for maintenance. So that's the case. Anything that is not part of that agreement is negotiated. And so we're not giving them Curtin Springs or I think that's the only other piece that we're not having. There's about 47 clean water sites that we're happily wanting to give them because it costs us money.
And they don't want them.
And it will essentially double their clean water program. So there's another ILA with roads and clean water and different things, but the parks portion of it. So this will come to you after we finally get to somewhere close.
Well, you might want to get to us before you get somewhere close.
Okay. Okay. I'm not sure if you've been keeping the loop at all.
Just a little bit. Not much. Not enough.
Okay.
Obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I figure we're being pretty frugal with them because it's costing us about $1,800 a year to maintain Kelly Meadows. So that's the biggest piece that we've been giving them. Mm-hmm. After it gets developed, it'll be somewhere closer to 24 to 26,000, and we'd be paying for that forever more. As long as we're maintaining or collecting the MPD funds from that area, we have to pay them for it. So, moving on to the next thing. That's the Vancouver Mall annexation. More to come after Thursday. It's probably going to be far from over after Thursday, but we'll find out. Parking fee program. So we have sold tons of passes. 1,200 is actually an old number. We might be much higher than that right now. But the city of Battleground's probably sold the majority of those. They're probably 800 of those 1,200. So the Battleground Community Center.
Oh, are you giving Debbie a kickback?
I'm going to buy her lunch.
Can any of those parking passes ever be donated? So for things like, you know, baskets or things, that can we ever utilize? Is that a tool in our toolbox?
We grabbed across that bridge already when you asked for them before for the...
Oh, that's right. Jennifer did. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So we can buy them and then donate them. So if I were to buy some passes and then donate them, okay, I can do it that way, but they have to be purchased. So it can't be a gift.
I forgot about that. Thanks.
Directly from the county. So I did that for our annual safety meeting. I bought 3 passes and raffled them off. So that's cool. We just talked. This is the Robert Smoke piece. This is a piece that I talked about at our last meeting. It's the parcel that is west of 50th Avenue and 31st Avenue. I don't think we have a rendering of that along. So we talked about it just this last month. I just want to give you a quick update. And that is, we're planning on purchasing that piece possibly this later on this year. We do have the funding for it. It's a beautiful piece of property. However, it's got 2 new subdivisions, one on either side, and there's a road that terminates, circulation road that terminates on each side of the property. And so we need to check in and see if we can do a road modification to not have those roads go all the way through the property. If they have to go through the property, we're not going to buy it because it just splits the property right in half. We've done road modifications before. First degree was one of them. So I've got it in the hands of Carolyn Minigas, who's our transportation manager right now, to find out what her determination is. So she's the one that actually makes that decision. So I don't think, just by looking at it, it's so close to Northwest 11th Avenue that I don't know if we really need a circulation road that goes to that property. The one subdivision is only like 9 houses.
They have some standards they use to formulate.
But I gave her all the hearings examiner information and everything, so we'll find out. So more to come. I'm assuming we're going to be somewhere around November, December before we make any final moves on this property. I was going to come to you at this meeting and ask for a recommendation, but we're too far away from that right now.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure if we're going to buy it yet.
Right.
So, okay.
We could ask for a recommendation.
Yeah, you said 11th Avenue, but this is down in 5th District 8. And I looked through here real quick.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't see the one on 11th Avenue.
I'm sorry,
on here.
No, it's 50th Avenue and 131st. And it's right next to a main access road. It's not 11th.
Can you bring that up on the map?
Yeah, let's bring it up real quickly. Yeah. Show it to you.
Where are we at on the one on 11th Avenue? Has that gone through yet?
It's moving forward. We did the appraisal on it, and they have to do a confirmation appraisal. And so for our RCO, RCO requires that.
Okay.
So we do a access.
But it's progressing.
Sure. Yeah, so it's progressing. So wait for that confirmation appraisal. Okay, so this is the small property, 5 acres, beautiful older growth trees on here. And so we've got this little subdivision right here. You see it, there's a terminus right here. This is a little bit larger subdivision, has a terminus here. So if you were to go to a developer, you can rest assured that this circulation road somehow would go all the way through. But when it comes to parks buying this property, it's a little different animal. So it would require a road modification for us to terminate those. They'll still be used for circulation, but not by car. Bicycles walking, new people walking in. So, you know, we'll have your typical trail around here, but you'll have access points here and here, which ties the community in directly. So this is the main road right here that takes you all the way to the Highland subdivision towards Pleasant Valley. It's so close to this, I don't know if you really need a circulation road that connects here as well. So it's in Carolyn Minnick's hands right now, so.
Would it help if we just endorsed an idea that the road not go through there to back you up, or do you think we should just leave it alone and let it happen?
Let me find it. I just handed this to her this week, and I told her we got a little bit of time to look at it. So I'll find out what she has to say originally on it.
I think it's a critical place to put a park. So
it is.
I hate to see us lose.
You got all these homes that are developed, and this this gentleman's mom. Lived here for many, many years, and she's always wanted to be something more than a subdivision. She's been wanting a park. That's why he's been holding off. Of course, he gets 10 calls a week from developers.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
So, and it's high, it's dry, it's got nice old trees on it.
Relatively flat.
It's dead flat. That's beautiful. Okay, so more to come on that as this develops. Okay, the Edgar Farm property, I just showed you that. That's down at Vancouver Lake, that little piece that we always thought we owned, but we didn't. That would become critical if we do that one bridge solution. And the appraisal came in at $34,000 for that piece.
It's You're not kidding. Very big. Yeah, high for
yeah.
that little piece?
Yeah, it's about a 2-acre piece.
Will they donate it?
No.
Did we ask?
We did.
I'm going to make you a shirt that says, will you donate it?
Kelly, you think just like me.
I wish they would. That would be wonderful. Of course, we talked about Vancouver Senior Softball. Their dedication is on the 17th, so the following Saturday, 10 o'clock. So if you'd like to show up, that'd be great. Also, we've got the event out there at Camp Hope, which is great. And of course, Kelly, you've got your cleanup day. So a lot going on that particular day. Washington Timbers and Harmony Sports Association, we need to update the license agreement in effort for them to afford to secure another loan through Craft 3. And so they had originally got a loan for the first two turf fields, synthetic turf fields. They're actually building the third field right now and have already actually secured the loan. So we need to formalize our agreement. The collateral is the field itself. It's the land is not included. So. Thank you, Amanda, for looking at that. Are we ready to pull the trigger on that, you think?
I think so.
I think we are, too. Their attorney has been asked a question today if we're ready. And so I just need to file a staff report to get this thing going through.
Yeah, I think I
So we'll go out there on the field trip and go take a look at it. Half constructed already.
Yep. Yeah.
You guys don't
they're laying the turf. You'll see how turf goes down.
Yeah, you guys don't let the moss grow on the stone there, do you?
Yeah, the lights are in. The holes are in. So.
Wow, that's great.
So once we'll graduate, you're going to stay engaged, huh?
Hey, Counselor, if you want to come with us,
probably. I can't seem to.
That's next week?
Next Friday. We're going to meet at Harmony.
It's my birthday.
It's your birthday?
It's your birthday?
Next Friday.
We need to do a birthday cake, Bill.
Not necessary.
But we're going to meet at Harmony, and then we're going to go.
What time? Do you just want to send me an email? Thank you.
About noon? Yeah, we have a flyer.
You got it. And then we're going to go to the Pacific and look at that site? That new ball field?
I'll try to make that one.
Yes, thank you. Okay, the next one, appreciate our counselors approving all of our decision packages. So there were six in all.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, they do.
Really stick around for the kudos, because then I gotta go. You're welcome.
Thank you, and happy early birthday.
So the first one was to add budget to support a 0.75 FTE OA parts to support the fee programs, so reservations. And I was going to tell you, that person is busy. They're on the phone all day long taking reservations. Louisville's completely booked out for the year. A lot of our other parks are too. It's just amazing. Second one to add Parks Volunteer Program Assistant, and so we've already got that one posted, so we're happy to see that going through. It's much, much needed. And the third one is to allocate FTE time managing the Heritage Farm. That's for Pat Lee's time. It's very minimal. I think it's like $10,000 a year for him to manage the site and to manage the new employee that's over there and all the farm board meetings and all that kind of stuff. And so, and then also he's been invested with grants and different things, so that's great. The next one was rollover budget for Camp Hope master plan. So we had monies left over from the timber harvest that we actually were to do a master plan, and now we're actually working towards site plan. So we had just enough money to start working on site plan permitting. And so that just carried over from the last planning to this one. And then Otto Brown Neighborhood Park development, that gave us budget authority to move ahead, as well as Curtin Springs Wildlife Habitat development. So. All those were approved without question, and I was really appreciative of that, so thank you. Canvas Sewer Project is underway. Jeremy and I went out there this couple days ago, and they are moving ahead. They're downtown Canvas and dealing with the schools. Thank you for coming, Councilor.
Thank you.
And they're basically laying the sewer line from downtown Canvas, working their way out towards Lacamas Lake Park, and then down Ledbetter Road, through Camp Curry and up to Green Mountain. So it's by this fall, They should be pretty well wrapped up with it. They're going to be installing the pump station out at Camp Curry. They put the pedestrian bridge that carries a sewer line in at Lacamas. Yeah. That's going to be a really nice addition for us.
That, like, we talked about this in depth last week with Ledbetter yes. Road. There's that boat ramp, an old DFW boat ramp on that side of the lake.
Yes.
What's happening to that? That trail's going, if
that's Lacamas, that's Lacamas Lake itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still DFW.
Okay.
That'll stay there.
Okay.
But that whole Ledbetter Road will become a multi-use trail.
Isn't that off of Ledbetter Road? Isn't that boat ramp off of Ledbetter Road?
It is on Ledbetter Road.
Okay.
So you have the wildlife
yeah.
range, or building up on top.
Right.
Across on the lake is the boat ramp.
Right.
Yep, that's all going to stay there. But it's probably going to be more of a kayak type.
Okay.
Boat launch.
Okay. So will there be vehicle access to that point?
There's going to be a new access road in behind Ledbetter. That's
okay.
going
to
be the
so
main
it'll probably connector. Tie into that somehow.
Yes, because all the neighbors, like the neighbors at the house here, will actually be fed in from the backside.
Okay.
I don't know how they're going to deal with that boat ramp. They might have relocated or something. Okay. That's my guess.
Yeah. Okay.
But
just curious. Have you thought about that for our discussion?
Yes.
Thank you.
And then, of course, you've got the Camas. Camas Community Center, there's a boat launch there, so yeah. Who knows, they might actually be okay with that one.
Go away.
Yeah, I might.
So Pat Lee is currently renewing the 5-year contract with Columbia Land Trust to continue the partnership and seeking out opportunities through Conservation Futures, and so that RFP is underway and it's going in front of the board here real soon. And so Pat is getting ready, and this is where I'm going to need your help. He's been meeting with Columbia Land Trust on a multitude of acquisition projects that's going to be engaged with Columbia Land Trust and Conservation Futures. So he did a call for projects to all the different cities around, and they have this big conglomeration of projects and that they're trying to prioritize. So Bill Diger is there working with us and all of the folks from Columbia Land Trust, and they're trying to get this down to a manageable level of projects, and then they're going to come to he's going to come here and give you a presentation on it to tell you what is what they have in store. So we got Lewis River Ranch. We got projects kind of all over the county. When that time comes, then we'll ask for support to move forward with that.
And of course, share with us the agreement between Columbia Land Trust?
Absolutely.
And
sure.
I'd like to just keep in touch.
Yes, you bet. I can send it all to you. And then so that's forthcoming. I'm assuming sometime this fall, probably. August, September, in that time frame. And so, just so you know, Kevin Tyler, he's the lands manager, if you will, from the Parks and Lands Manager. So he's in between myself and Pat. And so Kevin's going to be taking over a lot of the day-to-day stuff that Pat's doing.
Oh.
I want to definitely be kept in the loop with what's happening. And so,
Pat will work for Kevin?
Pat reports to Kevin. So I've got two managers. Doug Keller is my manager for the maintenance side, uh-huh. and Kevin Tyler is my manager for the land side. Okay, and then so I'll send that to you. Flood Children's Garden, we talked about that already, so thank you for your support on that. We finalized the agreement with Prairie Fields Association to manage and program the Prairie Fields for the next 12 years. Of course, as we normally do this, it's a two-year contract with 2 5-year extensions. So the two-year period is to make sure we're a good fit for each other, because if we're not, then it goes away.
Get out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. But and of course, Prairie Fields Association, they've been running Prairie Fields since 1969, so they're very well ingrained with that project. And so basically, we don't have to pay any maintenance costs to maintain that site. They cover all the costs, they do all the sports programming and everything, so it's just great. And they're also allowing multiple other groups to go out there and play all the little leagues. They don't say no to anybody unless they're out completely out of time slots. The first phase of the Warner Erickson land trade is now complete. Do you remember that piece that we talked about just a couple months ago? You want to pull it up, Jeremy? I think it's in the attachment. I'll show it to you real quickly.
Yeah, that is an attachment already.
Yeah, it should be in there.
Might have been last one.
I think I sent it to you just today.
The Warner piece?
Yeah, I think it is. If not, I know we brought it up last one, so I would probably look at that one.
The staff report's in there, I don't know.
Yeah, the staff report's attached to it. There's two photos there.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so this is the piece of property.
Okay, here we go.
A developer came to us. It was a planned use development. And so...
Here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, remember this one?
Yeah.
Okay, so we now own this piece right here. And so what we're doing is that we're in possession of this 7.43 acres. So we're going to deed back this part of the property to the developer who lives right here in exchange for this whole piece right here. So we're going to end up in the end with this piece and this whole piece. So we didn't have any skin in the game to begin with, but now we end up with two new properties. Yeah. One is lake frontage. So when it comes to the Lewis and Clark Trail, this is our alternative route on the east side. I mean, we should do it anyways. It's we like round lake trails. It just makes perfect sense. Plus, it provides us some potential access points in to the community. So,
very good.
So that was. So we got the very first phase done. Second phase, of course, is making that land swap. And our PA's office is working on a countywide policy to address the homeless camps and personal property cleanup and community assistance. And so we had kind of a big meeting here in this room with all the different jurisdictions to talk about the problems that we've been having with personal property being left behind. The notification period of 72 hours, how long we have to store the property before we can dispose of it. All that kind of stuff is being developed into a countywide policy right now, and it will morph into an ordinance eventually. So probably throughout the course of this year, we'll be working on that. So I'm gonna give a presentation to the board, a work session to the board sometime in the next month or two to address this. And we'll have support from clean water, transportation, all the other property owners around the county
When we develop that trail symposium this fall, the program for that, we ought to put a component in there of this, because one of the issues of regional trails is homeless people moving onto the trail. So that should be one element that we discuss there, because it's going to come bite us if we don't.
Yeah.
If we don't on top of it,
mm-hmm.
they'll use that as a reason not to build trails.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Along
it's
that
a difficult issue to work with.
It's very difficult, but it's got to be addressed.
Right.
You know, out there at Frenchman's Bar,
what's that?
The veteran homeless guy
at
Frenchman's Bar. Mm-hmm. I know you said something about we're not going to do it there.
The camp.
But did you find another location for them?
What?
The people's.
Sean Guard's.
Oh, there we go. Is that what it's called?
Well, Sean Guard is.
I just think it's right, the veterans.
It. Okay, yeah, this is a veterans camp. And
well,
Mayor Sean Guard with Washougal was the one that's been kind of leading the charge on that. And we can't do it at Frenchman's Bar. It's Grant Cumber. It's way too much of a hassle. And so the ultimate site that we looked at was Bratton Canyon up near Woodland area. We've got an 80-acre trust land transfer from DNR. It's got a small campground that's been on it, but that's the only piece that's encumbered by RCO. We've got 40 or 35 acres to the east and about 20 acres to the west that are non-encumbered. And I said, hey, this is the last opportunity for you to have a camp if you want to go forward with it. So he went and looked at it and says, that might work, but that's as far as we've got.
Who went to look at it? Sean.
Sean Guard, Mayor Sean Guard. He's still advocating for this. And
say homeless, I think of that, because that's what we're keeping them from being, right?
Well, they're veterans who are coming in from a tour of duty abroad, and they need to reacclimate to Western society before they can get back into public. That's what it's for. And so it's like a 2 to 5 day stay. And they move out. So
I thought it was longer than that, but that's okay.
I don't think so. No,
I still care about the pets.
He was hoping for some kind of waterfront property, but it's not going to happen there. So we just don't have the properties. Most of them are all grand encumbered. We just can't do anything with it. So that's the last frontier. And if it actually does start moving forward, I'll let you know about it. So that's it for my report.
Okay.
Good stuff.
All right, thanks, sir. Subcommittee work sessions, we were this month, marketing and partnerships, and then the trail open space and intertwine that you guys have been terribly busy. I think, I don't know that you need any time today.
I need 5 minutes with Kelly and my sister.
All right,
And then do you want some time?
Yeah, okay. My team is right over there. All right. Might as well take advantage of the fact that they're here. Unless someone else wants to join in.
Well, why don't you,
got anything on your round table before we adjourn to that?
Okay. We can do the round table and then folks can take their leave as they want to. So we'll start with that. Laura, you got anything? We'll start with you.
Very busy time of year for parks. As Bill said, the parking passes have been flying out the door. All of our fee booths are very busy. There's been a few glitches in starting up the program, and Eric's been doing a good job in figuring all that out. We had the power go out at one of the parks one of the days. So that was an extra challenge, but now we're going to have battery backup in there. So we're hoping to have it even better in the future. But yeah, lots of good stuff going on.
All right.
Leave it at that.
Diana?
I think I've covered everything we're working on. We have the big meeting with Vancouver Clinic and some of our community partners on prescription play coming up on the 20th of June. We have the big meeting on the Lewis and Clark Trail project coming up the 11th of July. We have the golf tournament coming up August 21st. And so just trying to keep everything going. We have a new person coming on Monday. She's going to be helping to keep the day-to-day stuff kind of done. She's temporary right now.
What's her name?
Janet James.
Janet James, oh.
So,
The one we all know?
Yes.
Is it? Okay.
Yes, I'm very lucky. I've worked with Janet for many years, so... It will be a good thing. And that's all we're doing, still just learning.
Yeah, all in just the first 3 months you've been here.
Repeat that, our second event at the 10th, is that what you said?
11.
July 11th?
At Peace Health Medical Center.
At Peace Health.
It's the follow-up to the lunch.
This is the one we have.
So Bill will be presenting along with Dan from Dan Miller, so... We're really excited about that, and we have some big philanthropists at the table for that meeting. So,
how does that fit in with our meeting, parks meeting next month?
That is
14th is our next board meeting, isn't it?
Our parks meeting.
Yeah.
This is like a Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, it's like a Tuesday, I think.
Yeah, July 14th. Okay, yeah. We're fine.
So yeah.
Okay, Barbara.
I had something that I forgot.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
Brain fart. I got so interested in what she was talking about there, I forgot.
All right. Take a minute. We'll come back.
Go on without me.
Kevin,
I think of it, I'll remind you.
Quick thing. Tomorrow's Granite Doors Day. I know that the fort is having some activities. I know I think Bennett Run State Park is having some activities. Do we ever participate in that, Get Outdoors Day?
We're doing Get Outdoors Day tomorrow. The Parks Foundation is participating in it.
Is it going to be downtown Fort Vancouver?
It's down at Fort Vancouver, and it's spread from Water Resources Center down through Fort Vancouver.
Okay. The Clark County Parks and Rec ever gets in. I don't know, the foundation does it, but do we ever make an appearance at that?
I don't think so. We might have some volunteer events that are scheduled for that. I think that might be our stand.
Okay, I'm just curious if you first. I'll look forward to seeing the foundation there. I'll be there tomorrow.
We'll be there. We'll have a booth there, but we're not going to be at the booth. I'll be there down for the first part of the morning.
Cool.
But yeah.
It'll be a fun day. Thanks. That's all I have.
Okay. The only thing I have is I'm hoping Kelsey brings up her discussion we had right beforehand about the social media campaign against park fees or...
I can do that briefly. Yeah.
We wanted to know about that.
Yeah.
So. All right. Other than that, Kelly?
Okay. I think we'll be talking more about Trail Symposium after we get together, but I do want to make sure that we get the date and place hammered out right away so we can get on to planning that. Okay. And we'll talk about that here shortly. I want to get excused for the September meeting. I will be in my nephew's getting married in London, so I'll be in Europe
Congratulations.
September, so I just want to keep a heads up. I won't be here September. Maybe Skyping, but I'll be here next month. I also wanted to mention that the Jane Weber Evergreen Arboretum is transferring over ownership from Clark College Foundation to the trustees of the property. So we're continuing to work for acquiring that in public property. The Stanger House is on that property. It's the oldest house in Clark County, privately built. So we're anxious to see the future of that saved. And of course, we know that the county has interest in history. So I want to keep pushing the county to help us be involved in saving that house. So I'll keep working on that. We've already mentioned there's a work party on the 17th. And then a number of us were at the Community Foundation luncheon this week, which had, I think, over 600 people, 700 people there. Was that right?
It was insane. It was
huge. It was huge. Anyway, they manage over $150 million in funds. And, of course, the Parks Foundation partners with them in a number of ways. So when we are looking for money, there's always the Community Foundation and the different funds that they have there. So just keep that in mind.
Community Foundation of Clark County?
What's that?
The Community Foundation of Clark County?
Yeah, of Southwest Washington.
Of Southwest Washington.
Yeah.
We have a huge trust with them, the Barney Trust, that supports our senior programs in the city of Vancouver. So
we're moving a huge fund into Community Foundation from the Jane Weber piece. The Community Foundation really does try, and they work very well with the Parks Foundation, so I think there's a good partnership. But there's a source there that we need to keep in mind. That's all I have.
Okay. Dave?
I have nothing to add. After that, no.
Okay. Kelsey?
So before, I'll just address this because Jay asked me to. Before we came in, I was on Facebook and someone had posted a link to a video and an article from a local publication talking about how the community is dissatisfied with parking fees right now. So, you know, Bill's information sort of suggests otherwise. If we sold over 1,200 annual parking fees, there's plenty of people who are fine with supporting the parks and paying those fees. And the line to get into Frenchman's a week and a half ago, we waited in line for 20 minutes. There were so many cars. So, I mean, people are willing to pay.
What was the
local publication?
Do you have any guesses?
Oh, I can just guess. I'm sure it's the newspaper.
Yes.
Yes.
So, anyways, I just sort of explained why I support park fees, not on that publication, but in the Facebook group I'm a part of who posted the link to that. So, and it seems like a lot of people are supportive of the parks, but there's still some pushback. So, anyways.
Where'd you see that, Kelsey? I'm just looking at your feed now.
It's Clark. I don't follow them on Facebook.
You don't want
You don't want to click on them, really. If give them advertising dollars. I'm trying to say this in the nicest way.
No, I just can't believe that anybody is speaking out against it because everybody I know is very supportive.
You have to understand where it's coming from. It's coming from the very people that erased your park impact fees. And the minute you respond onto it, guys, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get a troll attack.
Yeah. So I don't do it.
Don't say anything, just walk away.
I just stayed
away.
In the group. It was posted very supportive parks people and discussed why I support parks fees. So there's a whole video, though, that they made, too, of disgruntled citizens.
So you responded to it.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's that. What I was going to say for just my little blurb is we're all volunteer-minded people, and I just finished. It's a super easy thing to get involved with. You contact Volunteer Connections, and you can be a pen pal for a fifth grader in Vancouver, and it's super easy. You get like one letter a month, you respond to it on your email, they send you back one, and then you have this like party where you meet each other, and it's so nerve-wracking because you're like looking at each other like, who's mine? Anyways, you have this cute little meet and greet for 35 minutes, and they're always really low on volunteers. I got two pen pals this year, so if anyone's looking for something to do that's pretty a low-key volunteer sort of opportunity. It was really fun, and I mean, they write really cute letters, and so anyways, yeah. That's my blurb.
Okay. Bill?
Yeah, I got one thing that's another homework assignment for all of us coming up. And the drones are coming back into play again.
Yeah.
And so it's not, of course, in our code language, we say radio-controlled aircraft. Well, I guess these drones are somewhat of a different nature, this SUAS certification that people go after. And pretty much this licensing allows them to fly pretty much anywhere they want, except they cannot fly over people. So that was one of my biggest concerns in parks. Is that
there's people there.
Well, what are they going to fly over? There's very few unpopulated spaces.
Well, we've got a lot of open lands, but even in our big regional sites, we've got a lot of undeveloped areas, you know, or not so populated areas. But I also worry about wildlife harassment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, chasing the eagles around with them. You know, and so that's something that's going to be front and center. There's a lot of people who own drones, and I know you brought it up earlier, Kelsey, but we do. There's actually a couple of folks that are now certified, and they would like to educate us as to, you know, how these drones can be used and the usefulness of them, and where they can be used within parks. And I was hoping that we'd have somebody there today that was interested or in potentially giving us a presentation on drones and the whole program, and so we can make an informed decision later on. So if we have to change our code. So anyways, that might be forthcoming in the month or two, so we might expect a presentation about drones.
That's interesting.
How about a demo with it?
Why don't we do that as part of our tours, I think, as opposed to the regular meeting?
Well, yeah, I think we need to, we could probably do that, go out on site and get all the nuts and bolts of the program. So there's laws and stuff that are
free. Be part of the tour, and they do
demonstrate.
Yeah, okay. So, anyways, I'll see if I can set something up with the possibility.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. With that,
I have one more thing.
Okay.
Thanks for sending me the weed video. I actually looked at that. It was fascinating, but it was a good piece of PR. It was good information. That's I especially like the lady from California who said, "Oh, I'd want to make sure I follow the rules when I came up here."
I'll see if I can get our vegetation manager to give us a weed
special. I was glad. That was good. Thanks for sharing that. And I won't be able to meet the 17th either. I was wanting to go to Pacific Park because it's right there by my house, but I won't be meeting. My son-in-law is graduating from college. My daughter's put him through school for 5 years, so it's a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
So, I'll miss the 17th as well.
Oh, that's fine.
Weeds are a big deal.
Yes, they are.
Okay, I think we're done then.
Yeah,
thank you.
I have one little it doesn't need to be on the record. Just in response to something that Kelsey, I know I'm Facebook friends with a number of you.